The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Authenticity is key in finding a relationship. That's why eHarmony doesn't allow members to copy and paste for their first messages in the app. Your conversations should reflect your uniqueness. So eHarmony is building a community of people who are also putting in the effort. It's 2025. Have conversations that actually help you and your matches get to know each other. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Now, Jeff Cooner is with me, as he is this time every Thursday. Jeff is, of course, the host of the Cooner Report on WRKO AM 680 radio in Boston, Massachusetts. He is liberalism's worst nightmare, a conservative nationalist who champions God, country and family. Jeff, congratulations, I feel like saying, I guess, as a supporter of the incoming president, you must be delighted. Times Person of the Year for a second time.
He did it. He did it, Kieran. 13 presidents have had the honor, but only one has won it twice. And I think, honestly, it's a remarkable achievement. And to be, you know, to be frank, he deserved it. He was the only, I mean, I know there were some serious contenders, Benjamin Netanyahu and others, but in terms of global impact here in the United States, we're talking about one of the greatest political comebacks in American history. And Kieran, it's not just that he won the election. It's that he won the popular vote. He won 312 electoral votes. He ran the table every single swing state. And he won the Senate for the Republicans as well as holding the House. So he won a decisive mandate. And now, when he gets inaugurated on January 20th, Trump has made it very clear he has 100 days. He wants to move quickly on the border, on inflation, on the economy, globally, especially for Europe. He is determined to hammer out a peace deal between Putin and Zelensky. And I think in many ways, time had no choice but to pick him. Just take recently when he went to Notre Dame and met with world leaders. Zelensky himself came out with a statement saying that there are only two forces on earth that can really bring Russia and Putin to the negotiating table. That is one, China. Russia has now become a junior partner, effectively, of Beijing. And of course, he said Donald Trump. And so Trump now has an historic chance. All kidding aside, Kieran, he may win the Nobel Peace Prize. If he can pull off Russia and Ukraine and end this war, give Ukraine peace with honor, and force Putin to, at a minimum, sign a ceasefire, I think we're looking at an historic presidency.
Say, other presidents have won it twice, though, haven't they? Did Obama's won it twice, and George W. Bush won it twice, and Clinton. Effectively, if you win two terms, you win it, don't you?
Winning time person of the year?
Yeah.
My understanding from everything I've read is he's the only one that's won it twice. Obama won Person of the Year and he got the Nobel Peace Prize. But in terms of winning Time Magazine's Person of the Year, I think
he did it twice, 2008 and 2012. And then Biden did it once, Clinton twice. They all did, like, Reagan twice, George H.W. Bush once, Jimmy Carter once. So effectively, if you win two terms, you win it.
Well, and I think, Kieran, you may be right. I don't know. But what I'm saying is, let's leave all that aside. Look, and this was the reaction of most of my listeners, and I think they have it. I think they have this one right. We, for the last 10 years, effectively, in the United States, but I would say even around the world, we really have been living in the era of Trump. Love him or hate him. He sets the tone. He sets the agenda. People react to him, whether it's pro, con, positive, negative. And he has done something in America that only one other president has done. Win the presidency, lose the presidency, and then win it back again. And he's going to be setting the agenda for the next four years. And honestly, Kieran, I think this is the moment where, as it's a watershed, we are now entering a new era in politics.
Yeah.
It's an era of populism. It's an era of a working class realignment that is now on the right. Historically, it's been on the left. It's now on the right. If Trump can deliver on his agenda, I think you're looking at a majority coalition for the Republican Party for a decade to come. And honestly, Kieran, I think his influence is going to be felt in Europe, in England, in France, in Italy. Populism is now on the march.
And Jeff, in terms of foreign policy, right, that obviously the big kind of focus is Ukraine and Russia-Ukraine. But I just thought it was interesting his response to what happened in Syria this week as well, where he kind of said, listen, nothing to do with us. Of course, we're keeping a close eye, but nothing to do with us. We should not get involved. Will that be the kind of the Trump foreign policy doctrine, do you suspect, for the next 4 years? And again, if we're living in the Trump era and it's going to go on longer than that, in all but name, is that going to be US foreign policy for the foreseeable? Nothing to do with
us. Well, I can just tell you this, Kieran, as someone who knows him very well and knows his national security team extremely well, Trump is not an isolationist.
Okay.
He, in some ways, is a non-interventionist, but he's a realist. This is the way I would describe him. He believes that Syria is ultimately has no national interest for the United States. He doesn't want us involved. However, he has clearly told Putin that the loss of the Assad regime, the fall of Bashar Assad, is a massive blow to Russia. Russia's influence in the Middle East, Russia's reach around the world. And he's effectively told Putin, you just lost your client state. And the reason why you lost your client state is because you are now bogged down in a no-win war in Ukraine. So if you know what's in your best interest and the interest of your country, you're going to want to hammer out a deal with Zelensky. And so he wants to end the war between Russia and Ukraine. What he wants to do in Europe, and he's pretty much gotten it now, NATO came out with a statement saying that every member country in the age of Trump is now going to increase defense spending to 3% of GDP. Now, that's what Trump has been asking for a long time. He doesn't mind protecting Europe. He just wants the European powers, Germany, France, Italy, Britain in particular, to pay their bills. And now under Trump, they're going to start paying their bills.
The other thing, though, I thought it was interesting today, Mark Rutte, who's the new General Secretary at NATO, the former Dutch Prime Minister, talked about NATO members needing to be war ready, kind of, and much more significantly kind of front foot in that regard, which I guess kind of is worrying to some people. I found it a little bit worrying as well. And I just wonder what the Trump administration would make of that type of talk, the need to be war ready. While, yes, he wants people to kind of pay their NATO bills, but at the same time, he does kind of market himself as something of a, not a pacifist, but as somebody who can bring peace.
Well, I think, to be honest, he does want Europe to be war ready. His argument is, and I would agree with him on that, that Europe has a very high GDP, very strong economic growth. They're one of the European Union is actually technically bigger than the United States, has a bigger economy than the United States. Take Germany, the powerhouse of Europe, economically. They spend hardly anything on the military. Now, that's changed over the last couple of years. But Trump's argument, and I think this is a very strong, compelling case, if you fear Vladimir Putin so much, if your argument is he takes Ukraine, then from Ukraine he'll take Poland and then roll into the rest of Europe, well, why aren't you spending more on defense? And so he wants the Europeans to be more ready because ultimately he wants to contain Putin. He wants to deter Putin. He wants to end this war. He thinks Putin has made the biggest mistake of his entire presidency by invading Ukraine. And let me just tell you this, Kieran. I've been told this on background. I can't tell who, you know, I can't say who said it to me. But Trump's people, his national security team, think that Putin is going to sign a deal. He almost has no choice. And then comes the reckoning. I think people underestimate that once this war is over, that the Russian people are going to ask themselves, was it worth the sanctions? Was it worth the massive inflation? Was it worth all of the dead and the maimed and the wounded? And in the end, what did Russia get? Maybe a slice of eastern Ukraine. Maybe they get to keep Crimea. But most of Ukraine, 92, 93% of Ukraine, will be permanently detached from the Russian sphere and the Russian sphere, the Russian orbit. And so this is going to be seen ultimately, I think, as a humiliation for Putin and Russia. And do not be surprised if that peace deal eventually leads to Putin being overthrown.
Jeff Kuhner, host of the Kuhner Report on WRKO AM 680 Radio, Boston, Massachusetts. Jeff, thanks a million for joining us. President Trump deserves the honor from Time magazine. Well done to him, says one listener. Somebody else says, Barack Obama only got it out of sympathy, which I think is a bit of a harsh reading of history. He got it in 2008 and 2012, the 2 years he won the presidency. I don't know how you'd say he got it out of sympathy when he won the election. You might say towards the end of his term, there might have been an argument you could make that case. But I mean, come on, come on. I think that's a bit of revisionism happening there on the text line.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.